Have you ever heard a message? Have you ever heard a Bible series on the subject of responsibility? I have not. I have not. And when the Holy Spirit started to speak to me about this, part of me was a little bit nervous. Part of me was very excited, because I believe that as we journey through these next few weeks, the Holy Spirit is going to minister to our hearts such amazing life-giving truth that this subject of responsibility is going to be one which we embrace with excitement, with anticipation, and with faith. I think it's one of those subjects that perhaps does get avoided because our human nature perhaps does not like to face the fact that we have responsibility. And the Bible, when you read it with an open heart, actually from cover to cover, speaks constantly of responsibility. What we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks is God-given responsibility. We're going to be discovering and exploring this subject. And as we do, we're going to be realizing what that God-given responsibility is and how it actually affects every part of our lives. The Bible talks about the responsibility in relationships. And so next week, Young Ho talked about integrate. Next week, I can't wait. I almost want to preach it today. We're going to be talking about our responsibility, how we respond to God, listen, and how we respond to the devil. And you want to come, you want to bring your families, because that's going to be a word that God speaks to our heart, which is so important, so life-giving. Our message this morning is my responsibility. And I suppose in some ways it's relatively easy to look at somebody else and maybe they're making mistakes or they're experiencing difficulties in their life, and we can see the responsibility that they should take. We could perhaps look at some parents whose children may be just being children, and we say, well, they're not very responsible parents. But you know, the way God speaks to us is not about other people, but to ourselves. And responsibility is something that we need to take personally. I think within our understanding of this subject, also perhaps we avoid it because we get a little bit confused. We hear the gospel, we hear the message of grace, we know that we are complete in Christ, that we rest in Him. And it could be that we have this understanding that almost my responsibility has ended because Christ has died, has been raised from the dead. My life is in Him. He lives in me and through me. Where is my responsibility? On the flip side of that, it could be that we're reading our word, the Bible. Our Bible's the Word of God, and we're seeing things that God instructs us. And we are engaged in a personal pursuit of trying to fulfill those responsibilities under our own steam, by our own abilities. And perhaps we're caught somewhere in between those two points. One point that says, responsibility, you don't need to worry about that. And the other extreme, which sees the need, embraces it, but does so trying to fulfill it by ourselves. I believe what God is going to do is, in a very life-giving way, bring us His perspective on responsibility. He's going to show us how we can embrace it and also see it fulfilled, but not in our own abilities, but in His. Here's some verses which I think are so wonderful. Psalm 1. We're reading a lot of Psalms today, aren't we? Beautiful book. Psalm 1 says this: oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Now, how many of you know there's a lot of voices out there, and not all of them are righteous voices? The joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, hang out with them, engage in their life, be influenced by them, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Is that us? Do we meditate on God's word day and night? To be able to meditate on something, it's got to be in your heart. That's why we always encourage you, read God's word. Feed upon it. Get it inside you. Now, this is what the Bible says about those people, about us, if we will do that. It says that we are like trees that have been planted along the riverbank. And we bear fruit each season. We're fruitful. Their leaves never wither. And they shall prosper in all they do. Someone asked me once, what is the definition of success? It's a good question. And instantly in my heart, in my spirit, came these words. Success for the Christian is simply doing everything that God asks you to do. It's not when we receive the acclaim of other people, when we get the pat on the back, well done, the thumbs up, or the accreditation, or the applause of other people. That's not what measures success. I believe success for the believer is simply this, that we do whatever God asks us to. In other words, we take responsibility. My friends, when God speaks, every word he speaks is life-giving. Every instruction he gives to us is life-giving. First thing I want us to look at this morning is this, three truths concerning God-given responsibility. I'm highlighting God-given because sometimes we can have the sense that people have given us responsibility. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. We're talking about the responsibility that God gives us. Three truths that are constant. One, this responsibility that God gives us is at the very core of our relationship with God. Did you know that love and obedience do go together? They do go together. It used to be that when people got married in the UK, that one of the things that the bride would say was this, that she vowed, she promised that she would love and obey her husband. Hardly anybody says that anymore because they don't believe that obedience can be part of love. My friends, our response to God is a loving obedience. We obey because we love. And there are things in the Word of God that we don't understand. It doesn't give us license not to obey it. There are things that as parents, when we're teaching our children, we're raising them, as Mariki and Quentin will for Zoe, they're raising their child in the ways of God. There will be things that children don't understand. But when they sense the love of their parents, they will do what their parents advise or ask or instruct them to do. I've told you a few times, a time when my son said this to me, Dad, he said, Dad, I really don't understand what you're asking me to do. But because I know you love me and I love you, I'll do it. There is a place in a relationship, in our relationship with God, where obedience is so core, so key. You see, if in our relationship with God, we feel that there, or we believe that there is a place for disobedience, what we're doing is we're bringing God down to our level. We are demoting God. You can't do that. But in our belief, we're saying effectively, God, you're not sovereign. You are not almighty. You are not all-knowing. And when God speaks to us His word and He brings responsibility to us, if we believe that there is a place in our relationship with God where God is okay with us disobeying Him, then we've misunderstood something of the love of God and the nature of God and the holiness of God. Maybe we have not bowed our hearts to Him. Maybe we have just come to Him for this thing called salvation because really we don't want to go to hell. We'd rather go to heaven. And we know that God is the one that can help us do that. But my friends, that's not what a Christian is. Oh yes, Christians will go to heaven. But a person who has simply gone to God to get escape from hell and has not bowed the knee, has not bowed their heart in submission and repentance to Him and made Him not only his Savior, but their Lord, they're not born again. The Bible says, Jesus said this, many, many will stand one day before the Lord. Many will say, but Lord, we did many things for you. We even cast out demons in your name. And for those that have never bowed their heart to the Lord in full surrender, the Lord will say, depart from me, because I don't know who you are. There's a place where obedience is key in our relationship with God. Taking our responsibility is always at the core of our relationship with God. Second thing, God's word and the responsibilities He gives us are always life-giving. Always life-giving. My friends, even when your soul says, man, that's hard. When you read God's word, and wives, and you read God's word, and it says, wives, respect your husbands. That's life-giving. And you may say, we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks' time, by the way, a whole week on it. Husbands and wives. But listen, you may not feel that your husband is worthy of respect. Doesn't come into it. Doesn't come into it. God says, I'm giving you wives this responsibility. Respect your husbands. Now whet your appetite. It's life-giving. It's life-giving because it's God's word. God didn't say, if your husbands are worthy of it, then go ahead, respect them. God's responsibilities can never be fulfilled independent from Him. Three key truths concerning the responsibility that God gives to us. I'm going to look at just a few things through the Word of God briefly this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles back to the point when God created everything. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God gave man responsibility. Did you realize that? Yeah? He didn't just create him and drop him in a garden and just let him do whatever he wanted to do. It says God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Like that responsibility. Sounds fun. You're allowed to shout amen, you know. It's not rude. Fill the earth. But then his responsibility gets a little bit more. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. There we go. Anybody don't like hard work? Do you know the Bible says a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat? We've been created for hard work. It's actually good for us. It's healthy. Didn't hear many amens then either. I guess you haven't kind of subscribed to the gym or... Anyway. Tend it. Keep it. This was his responsibility. And the Lord commanded man saying, of all the trees of the garden you can freely eat, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat that, on that day you will die. Responsibility. Here it is, right at the beginning of humanity. It is part of how God has blessed humanity, mankind. We like to think that freedom is what when we can do what we want to do exactly when we want to do it. That's the sinful definition of freedom. But it's not freedom. It's a prison. You imagine just three people in one room who try to live that way. That's what most people experience as family. Just doing what they want to do when they want to do it, regardless of anybody else. That's not freedom. You're living in a prison. Freedom is when we do what God asks us to do. That's freedom. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And God gave to man, God gives to mankind responsibility. He did right at the beginning. And it was when man refused or ignored that responsibility that sin came into his heart. God said, don't take of that tree. They did. They didn't take the responsibility. They could. The Bible says their eyes were opened. They knew what was happening. God had spoken to them. He had spelled it out clearly. That's the amazing thing about God. There's no grayness with God. It's a little bit of gray on top of my head. It's getting less, actually, by the way. But there's no grayness with God. It's black or white. And God says, don't, because if you do, you'll die. I'm giving you this responsibility. Let's move on. In Exodus chapter 20, we read about when God gave to his people what we call the Ten Commandments. And most of us run a holy mile from the Ten Commandments, either because we think they're redundant now that we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior, or we look at them as something which is a curse from God. They're actually God, in his grace, giving responsibility to man that they may know how to live on this earth. The purpose of the law that God gave to man, three things. One, to show God's perfect standard to man, to show man what God is like. The law, read it. Don't be scared of it. Read it. And you will begin to see something of God that you may have never seen before. You may begin to, we sang, you are amazing, God. When was the last time you thought that? Wow, God, you are truly amazing. You can read the law of God. I guarantee this. And you can be amazed at him because it reveals the perfect, pure, complete nature of who he really is. You can never separate God from his word. The law is not something independent of God. It is God. It reveals him. Secondly, it demonstrates God's grace. You may say, well, I thought we today live in the dispensation of grace, the time of God's grace. Do you think that there was ever a time that God was never fully grace? Do you think during the Old Testament, God was something else other than grace? No, my friends, he is eternal, which means there is no beginning and no end, but it means he is perfect and complete. God didn't suddenly switch on his grace button in the New Testament. He has always been perfect grace. And the law that God gave to his people is a demonstration of his grace. Why? Because it shows not only the perfection of God, it shows the sinful heart of man. And you say, where is grace in that? Surely that's condemning us. Yes, it is. But it condemns us to a place where we realize we can't save ourselves. Only God can do that, and we need a Savior. My friends, we're going to do a series on God's law soon by his will. And you will see that it is an incredible gift that God has given to us. Today, praise God. And this was what God was doing. He was giving responsibility to his people. Live this way. You say, well, they couldn't. But God made an amazing provision for when they sinned. that they could bring sacrifices and offerings and God would receive them and he would cover their sin. It would atone for their sin. Because listen, God always wants man to come as close to him as they possibly can. And the law didn't keep them away. The law didn't hold them at arm's length. It gave them provision to come close. It says, look, I know you can't come up to this standard. And so I'm making a way in which you can bring those offerings and sacrifices. And we can be as close as possible. God's grace. Listen to this. Joshua chapter 1. I haven't got time to read all those verses. But you love homework. You love reading. Read the book of Joshua. It is an amazing book, full of life. It will inspire you in your faith. Verse 7, this is where God says to Joshua, he has taken on the leadership of God's people. God bless him. And God says to him, only be strong and courageous. Joshua, that's the responsibility I'm giving you. Be strong, be courageous, that you may observe to do all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Can you see this correlation between taking responsibility and prospering? Psalm 1 says it. Joshua chapter 1 says it. Does that mean if I take my responsibility, God will make me rich? No. No. That's not what prosperity means. Prosperity means this: to have a complete sense of well-being. When we take our responsibility from God, when we fulfill that in whatever avenue of life we may think, we have this amazing sense of fulfillment, this amazing sense of peace, this sense of being one with God. God has promised it. It's when we refuse that responsibility, that's when we don't have peace in our heart. And Joshua, we know from his story that he did what God told him. He took that responsibility. I'm serious. Read that book. It's difficult to find another biblical character, in other words, somebody in the Bible. I found one place where he stepped away from God just once. And you could argue that he didn't even do it then. No wonder Joshua is a type of Jesus. I'm not saying he was perfect, but my, did he take the responsibility that God had given him, and did he see the prosperity of the Lord? And you may think that leading those people of Israel was a song and a dance. I tell you, they make your children in your class look like angels. They do. Yeah. Moses was all but bald because he was pulling his hair out almost every day. Anyway, that's a joke. Don't translate that. Salvation. Where does responsibility come into that? You say, I thought I couldn't save myself. And you're right. You can't. But there is a responsibility that every person must take if they're to be saved. Listen, John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, praise God, but that the world through him might be saved. Why did Jesus come? To save us. To condemn us? No. To save us, yes. Listen, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned. And all God's people said, praise God. You don't want to be condemned by God. That's not a good thing. You may feel that your boss condemns you or your husband condemns you or your wife. You don't want to get condemned by God. That's an eternal condemnation. He who believes in him is not condemned, listen, but he who does not take responsibility and believe in God is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friends, Becoming a Christian is really taking hold of a God-given responsibility that is given to every human being. Zoe, and she grows old enough, whatever age that will be, as her parents keep speaking to her about God and his love and her need for salvation, there'll come a time when she needs to take that responsibility, just as there is for all of us. The difference between someone who is lost in sin and someone who is saved by God's grace, and it is God's grace, is that they simply have come to that place where the Holy Spirit has convicted them so much of their sin that they're willing to take that responsibility and say, God, I need you to save me because I can't. And God in his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness just pours into that soul, and that life, that spirit is born again as their old nature is crucified with Christ, and Christ by his Spirit comes to live in them. My friend, that right there, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that is all we need to live taking responsibility that God gives us. It's not to do with age, experience. It's not to do with human wisdom, intellect. It is simply surrendering to the strength which Young Ho talked to us about when he spoke about Growth Track. The strength of the Holy Spirit. How do we take responsibility that God gives us? Same way as we took responsibility when we came to Christ for salvation, by depending on the Holy Spirit, by depending on God's grace, by allowing him to have his way in our hearts and lives, and come into that place of prosperity, that sense of complete well-being. There is a battleground that we all live in concerning God-given responsibility. And that battleground looks like this. On one side, we are encouraged by the evil one to believe his lies and his deceit. You don't need to believe God's word. God doesn't really mean what he says. Sounds familiar? It's what he said to Eve and to Adam. God didn't mean you would die. Lies and deceit. On the other side is believing the truth of God's word. Believing it. My friends, your heart is your believer. Your brain is your thinker, your understander. Did you know you had an understander? I like making new words up. Pastor I was working with once, he was always making new words up. Maybe I learned that from him. You have a believer and you have an understander. And we're not instructed to understand. We're instructed to take responsibility by believing. It is at the core of our relationship with God. In this battleground, we have one side where we allow ourselves to get distracted. Oh my, is this a ploy of the evil one today? If ever there was a time, I don't think there's ever been a time like today where there is so much distraction. And it isn't always labeled, hey guys, this is evil. Very often, it comes disguised as so-called good. Sometimes even, this is what God says. This is what God wants. God would never want you to. And we have got to be discerners by the Holy Spirit to where we keep our full attention on God. God says to Joshua, God says to us, meditate on my word day and night. Don't turn from it. Don't turn from it one way or the other. You say, well, I don't understand it. Don't turn from it. I can't see how it will work. Don't turn from it. Don't be distracted. Don't listen to your own reasoning. Don't listen to the voice of this world. Don't listen to the deceitfulness and the lies, however tempting and persuasive they may sound, if they do not line up with the word of God, don't listen. What did I say? Amen. I said don't listen, actually. But amen's a good word as well. Don't. You say, well, sometimes I hear them when I'm not listening. Then the Bible has a word for you, my friends. Take every thought captive. Things that we hear, we don't have to believe. We must discern them. We must line them up with God's word. Because God's word, not somebody's experience. Not somebody's experience. Because you'll have two people sitting in the same room and their experience could be completely different. You say, well, which one do I believe? You believe the one that lines itself up with God's word. Well, how do I know that? You take responsibility and you do what God says, which is you know that God has written his word in your heart and on your minds, and you meditate on it. You think on that. When you hit a challenge in your marriage, you hit a challenge in your finances. When you hit a challenge in any area, even, listen, when it's going great guns, that's the most dangerous time, actually. Going along beautifully. The world is like a peach. You like peaches? I love peaches. The world is like a peach with some whipped cream on top. And you think life couldn't get better. How many of you have been in those experiences and then, bang, you get hit? You let your guard down. You meditate on this world instead of meditating on God's word. How do you wake up in the morning with God's word in your heart? You meditate on it when you're going to sleep. You say, but I meditate on my worries and my anxieties. And I don't think I've got a choice. Well, God says you do have a choice. He says, take my yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For my burdens are light. My yoke is easy. In other words, in comparison to joining yourself with the ways of this world, which only ever lead to death, the ways of Christ, the ways of God, they're easy. And listen, they're only hard to your soul and your body. It's your feelings. It's your thoughts. It's your body that says, I'm too tired. I don't like it. It doesn't seem right. It's not fair. Why should I forgive? How come God doesn't speak to them and tell them to say sorry? But your spirit is saying, come on, do what God says. There's life in it. There's hope in it. There's future in it. There's prosperity. There's well-being in it. Don't wallow in these prisons. Don't listen. Don't get distracted by the ways and the voices and the things of this world. Don't do it. Meditate on my word. Let it live within you. Let your life be rooted in it. Jesus said, abide in me as the branch abides to the vine. Because when you do that, everything, say everything.
Everything.
Everything you need in fulfilling God's purposes is supplied through him. We're not to be grafted into some other vine. Wholly, fully, totally, 100% grafted in to Jesus Christ. Here's the third battleground where we try to fulfill our responsibility without God. We try. Sounds noble, doesn't it? Try to do your best. No, don't. Don't. Just acknowledge how bad it is before God and say, God, every time I try, I make a mess. You say, well, that sounds like a defeatist attitude. Well, if you're fighting against God, it's better to admit defeat anyhow. If you're resisting against God, it's better to get your white handkerchief out, tie it to a little stick, and say, I surrender. And I'm talking from experience. It is utter torment resisting God's will. I was 10 years, that's almost a third of my life. And almost. Never was very good at math. Yeah, we're rounding it down a little bit. I was 10 years between the day I got saved and the day I got baptized. And it was torment. You know, it seemed like every service I went to, you know, I would go to a children's meeting at a church service, and it seemed like every service they talked about baptism. It seemed like every communion service we went to, baptism. Every Bible study, baptism. It was torment as long as I resisted the responsibility that God gave me to obey him, to bow my knee, humble myself and say, God, I give my life to you. And we have this battle where we try to fulfill it in our own strength without God. It's called flesh living. That means trying to take responsibility that God gives us and trying to do it ourselves. It doesn't work. You can't fulfill a spiritual responsibility by flesh means. That which is flesh, Jesus said. That which is spirit. The two never become the other, and they never cohabit. The only thing that we must do to the flesh is see it crucified with Christ, so that out of that death may come that eternal life. And when we submit and we surrender to God, and God gives us the power and the ability to do that, then we see his life through us, fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given to us, where we become completely dependent on the power of God. Parents, don't raise your children to become independent. Raise them to become utterly dependent upon God for everything. You say, well, that goes against everything I've ever heard before. Well, you can change. It's God's word. It's God's word. Are you going to be there when your child has grown up, married, got children, and their marriage goes through a challenging time? What's going to keep them together? Trying hard? Did it work for you? What's going to keep them together? Compromise? You can't compromise God's word and have success. Ever. Compromise is just a posh word for death. That's all it produces. Now, your children, you want them to know how to depend fully upon God, not just as children, but as they grow up. But listen, it doesn't suddenly happen when they become adults. Train a child in the way that they're to go, and when they grow old, they won't depart from it. You believe that, you live by it, your children will grow up to be dependent fully upon God, and there couldn't be anything better. The Bible says that a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I've got permission, actually, to tell you some great news. Do you want some great news? Do you remember last year my son and my daughter-in-law had a baby? Was this year, January. And she was a miracle baby, Bella Faith. Do you remember that? The doctors had said that you'll never have babies. You know, when God does a miracle, he doesn't just put a Band-Aid over things. He doesn't just make something right for a short period of time. He does a good job. Our God is good. And they're expecting another baby. Yeah. Come on. How about that? God is a good God. Miracle working God. And I'm leaving an inheritance for my children and my children's children, which is this: depend utterly and fully and completely upon God. My friends, he never fails. He never lets down. His word is 100% true. It never returns to him void. It never not works. It never cannot work. There is no better inheritance that you can leave for your family. Listen, two things to save as we close. My friend Young Ho spoke this to me just a few weeks ago. He may not remember. Responsibility is my ability to respond. Sometimes you hit places where you feel you can't take responsibility. But my friend, when God has filled you with his Spirit, you always have the ability to respond. And God never gives us a responsibility that we cannot fulfill. It's not possible. Let's close as we pray. Hallelujah. It may be that God has been already before today speaking to you concerning a responsibility that he's giving to you. And maybe you have before today just felt, I can't take that. I can't do that. I can't fulfill that. And I pray that the word of God this morning has opened your heart to see that no, you and yourself can't fulfill it. That any responsibility that God gives us, he also gives us the ability to fulfill it. If there are areas in your lives where you have said no, I'm not going to take that. In your relationships, perhaps, in your marriage, in your home, at your place of work. The Bible even talks about how we're to take responsibility at our place of work. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart right now, his word. His life-giving word. He's not coming to you with condemnation. He never does that. Conviction, yes. The difference is that conviction of the Holy Spirit always leads you to life. Condemnation leaves you with the weight of your sin. So the Holy Spirit, my friend, is leading you this morning to a place of freedom in his strength. In your own way, in your own words, just respond to God right now. Just yield and surrender to him. Thank him that he gives you responsibility, that he empowers you to fulfill it, and that as you do, you will have and experience this beautiful sense of completeness, this well-being, this peace with God. Peace, my friend, is not the absence of the storm, but it is the oneness that we have with the Master. Let him speak into your heart. Father God, we just yield before you. We surrender. We thank you that you love us and you care for us so much that you speak your word clearly to us, that we may experience that eternal life, which is our gift from you through Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're ever with us, that you ever remind us of the word of God, that you bring it to us, to our remembrance, that it fills us with life as we believe it and live by it. We praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name.